Rock out is Stone Cold. The Hellraiser is back.
Here we go. Evolution of the Shield.
John Cena versus the Showstopper.
Hulk Hogan and The Rock in the same ring.
You will never take my place at the head of the table.
Undertaker with a Hellscape submission. Oh, my God. What?
My God, Michaels just kicked Cena's head off.
The Monday Night Wars have come to WrestleMania.
It'll be The Rock. It'll be Austin one-on-one.
Third and fourth, the Undertaker.
Do you believe in miracles?
The streak is over.
Hey, what's going on, guys? And welcome back to Rivalries on the WWE podcast as we are in to the second week of October. And I know I often open like that, don't I? Giving you guys the overall landscape of where we're at on the calendar. But I mean, it's just crazy to me. And I think Matt has talked about it. I brought it up last week that if you are a sports fan, wrestling included, this is the time of year for you. You know, baseball playoffs are just about to get going. We're into the fifth week of the NFL season. Hockey's starting next week. The NBA is right around the corner. And as for the WWE, we have the infamous Crown Jewel pay-per-view and then Survivor Series. And once you get through Survivor Series, it kind of feels like you're really on the road to not maybe WrestleMania, but on the road to the Rumble. And then the Rumble is the road to WrestleMania. So it's like once Survivor Series comes around, that's when you are really starting to build towards WrestleMania storylines. And we're going back today to 2005 for a rivalry that featured one of the best WrestleMania matches of all time. And yes, we're taking a break from 2003 this time around. I know that I had kind of beat that year to death for a bit, but I have another few 2003 rivalries on the docket for next week and beyond. But this is a rivalry I've never covered, and I really just had to do it because of how damn good it was. And that is HBK versus Kurt Angle from 2005. And the first thing I will say about this rivalry is that it perfectly encapsulates the beauty of the brand split. And if you guys have been listening to me for any extended period of time, you know that I am a big proponent of the brand split because of how important it makes certain matches feel. And when Kurt Angle and Shawn Michaels crossed paths in 2005, that was just it, and we would have not had gotten this special of a program had it not been for the brand split. If there was no brand split, we still would have gotten this match. And we all know that HBK, Kurt Angle, arguably the two best in-ring performers ever, not even of just their generation, but ever, you knew that there would be an absolute five-star match waiting for you. But the way that they built this program was heavily aided because they were on separate brands and had been on separate brands for the better part of 3 years. And unless I'm mistaken, but I don't think I am, these two guys had never crossed paths before the Royal Rumble in 2005. So to give you a bit of the lay of the land as to what was going on for both of these guys during this period, obviously, you're right in the thick of the Ruthless Aggression era in early 2005. And on the Raw side of things, you're really witnessing the elevation of Batista. And he won the Royal Rumble in 2005, goes on to win the World Heavyweight Championship against Triple H. But in, let's say, outside of the main event scene, you had Randy Orton kind of on a failed babyface run, and later went on to feud with The Undertaker at this very pay-per-view, WrestleMania 21. And then you kind of had the meteoric rise of Edge. And that's kind of like where Shawn Michaels was going into the Royal Rumble of 2005. And Edge and Shawn Michaels actually opened up the pay-per-view in a one-on-one match between each other, as they were really in the thick of a heated personal rivalry. Aside from those two guys, you had Chris Benoit, you had Chris Jericho, all kind of fighting over the championship. And at the pay-per-view prior, you had had a World Heavyweight Championship match inside of the Elimination Chamber that featured Triple H, Batista, Randy Orton, Edge, Chris Jericho, and Chris Benoit, with HBK as the special guest referee. And Triple H actually won that match for the vacant world championship. And that's where the Edge versus HBK rivalry started, when he super kicked Edge. And then he was subsequently eliminated by Chris Jericho. And then on the SmackDown side of things, this was an era where SmackDown was really testing the waters with a brand new top heel champion by the name of John Bradshaw Layfield, who had held the championship for just about 7 months to this point. And at this very pay-per-view, Kurt Angle was involved in the WWE Championship match that was the SmackDown main event with Big Show and John Bradshaw Layfield. But even aside from that, Kurt Angle had almost been in somewhat of a holding pattern since SummerSlam, when he finally wrapped up his program with Eddie Guerrero. And you have to understand that ever since the brand split kind of came into effect in early to mid 2002, Kurt Angle was the face of SmackDown in a lot of respects. And not always the face of SmackDown, but he was like the constant there at the top of the card. Because obviously when the brand split started, you had The Rock as the first overall selection to SmackDown. So he was the initial face of that brand, and he kind of coined the name SmackDown. Then after Rock, you had Brock Lesnar, who started out as a heel and then quickly turned to a babyface around Survivor Series 2002. But then when Brock left in early 2004, they kind of gave it to Eddie Guerrero to kind of take the ball and run with it. But all through these brief stints as the top babyface of SmackDown, you had Kurt Angle always in the main event scene. And you had him hold the championship from December 2002 to WrestleMania 19 in March. Then he regains the championship in the summer of 2003 during an on-and-off program with Brock Lesnar, a rivalry that we will surely get to one of these weeks. Probably Kurt Angle's best and most historic rivalry, and arguably the same for Brock as well. So Kurt Angle, even after turning babyface, going against Brock in the summer of 03, then he turns back heel, headlines WrestleMania 20 win the SmackDown main event against Eddie Guerrero, he was always kind of like the crutch for Monday Night Raw. And last week, I believe I kind of compared him to Chris Jericho. But in a lot of ways, Kurt Angle was playing the role of several guys that were doing it on Monday Night Raw. Because in terms of the legitimate star that was always a constant at the top of the card, him and Triple H played the same role. But then if you think about a guy who could really do any kind of program and be passable as a heel or a babyface and go up and down from the mid-card to the top of the card, he was very similar to Chris Jericho. And then aside from that, when you look at his in-ring work and how amazing of a wrestler and a pure performer he was smack dab on par with Shawn Michaels. And thinking back to this time, I don't know if there was anyone who could even touch them. Maybe Chris Benoit? But even Benoit, like, as good as Chris Benoit was in the ring, of course, as a wrestler, not taking in the personal events that went on, but as a wrestler, I don't even think Benoit was on the same level as Kurt Angle and Shawn Michaels. And Kurt Angle, I think, unless you want to make the case for The Undertaker, but The Undertaker at this point had not held the world championship for almost 3 years and was always kind of involved in personal feuds. At this point, you can kind of make the case that Kurt Angle was the biggest draw on SmackDown. And that's a completely objective stance to it. Obviously, if we look back and revisionist history, you could, after everything The Undertaker has done since 2005 in comparison to what Angle has done since 2005, it's obviously a no contest that The Undertaker is the bigger star and will forever go down as, you know, an arguable member of the Mount Rushmore in WWE. But at this point, in a vacuum, you just look directly into what's going on in 2005, I would say that Kurt Angle was the bigger draw because he had been WWE champion several times in the last, let's say, calendar year. He had been at the top of the card and involved in continual championship programs, whether that be with Brock, whether that be with Guerrero, whether that be with JBL. And you go into the Rumble in 2005, and I really thought that Kurt Angle was going to win the championship at the Rumble in 2005. I really did. And, you know, looking back on it, obviously hindsight's 2020, but we obviously got this extremely historic program between Angle and Shawn Michaels. But imagine it had been Angle versus John Cena instead. I mean, that would have been some kind of main event and a match that we never ultimately got at WrestleMania that I think many of us are still clamoring for. But that's neither here nor there. Maybe we could talk about that on a what if with Matt maybe this coming week. So you go into the Rumble in 2005. Michaels has his singles match against Edge. Kurt Angle has the triple threat match against JBL and Big Show. Edge and Shawn Michaels are already scheduled to go into the Royal Rumble match that night, despite having a one-on-one match against one another. But Kurt Angle was not scheduled to be in the Royal Rumble. But after losing the match, the triple threat match, to JBL, and he also lost alongside the Big Show, Kurt Angle tracks down Nunzio and steals his number and entry into the Royal Rumble match. And let me tell you, when Kurt Angle came out to the Rumble, he was a man on a mission. But that mission was quickly intercepted by Shawn Michaels. And while Kurt Angle's just German suplexing everyone, going nuts, Shawn Michaels actually super kicks him over the top rope and eliminates him just a handful of minutes upon being in the Rumble. But that doesn't sit well with Kurt Angle, and he takes it upon himself to go after the Heartbreak Kid.
And Reigns will hit Kurt Angle. Can't keep. Come on, Rick, come on. Chin track. Wait. Oh, what the heck? Wait a minute. Kurt Angle's not here. What the hell? What the hell was that?
Angle's not enough. Angle's not enough. Angle can't eliminate anybody now.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. It's got a temperature, I'm telling you.
But what was the matter here?
Watch out.
Oh, gosh. Good God Almighty. Get out of here. That was impossible. How does Kurt Angle justify those actions?
I can't disagree. That was... Kurt Angle knows this was his opportunity to go to WrestleMania.
And the ankle!
He's gonna break his ankle!
Michael's ankle's gonna be snapped here!
Wow, he's gonna snap with his foot!
Kurt Angle is gone berserk after being eliminated from the Rumble by Shawn Michaels!
Referee from SmackDown and Raw. Angle's bitter. I'm telling you, he's bitter.
Angle snapped. Just like he wanted to snap Shawn Michaels' ankle.
Oh, man. Oh, my. What a shot.
Right to the face. A stiff shot right to the face by Kurt Angle.
So Kurt Angle, absolutely irate, just goes right after Shawn Michaels and just absolutely obliterates him with the steel steps and then puts him on the in the ankle lock on top of the steel steps. And to be honest, like, it seems like this was a reoccurring trend with Shawn Michaels at the Royal Rumble, where he would get attacked from behind and then eliminated. And how do you say, would just get bloodied to a pulp. It happened with Chris Jericho at the Rumble in 2003, like I covered last week. And then, well, in the Rumble in 2004, he wasn't involved in the match, but it came to a draw between him and Triple H in the Last Man Standing match. But this really got things going here, because what it finally showed was that they were going to build towards a never before seen match at WrestleMania. And this was a huge deal, right? And I think the coolest thing, and I've mentioned this a few times before, is that at this point in time, every WrestleMania, you would have two interpromotional matches where a Raw guy would face a SmackDown guy. And one of the matches this year was Angle versus Shawn Michaels. So they start building towards WrestleMania. And Kurt Angle starts doing some dastardly things here. And most notably is when he brings out Sherry, the former manager, to Shawn Michaels and kind of puts her in an ankle lock, makes her scream and tap out. And then you have Kurt Angle do one of the more funny renditions of Shawn Michaels' theme song, like, I'm just a sexy Kurt, I'll make your ankle hurt. And that was truly just hilarious, to be honest with you. But that's neither here nor there in towards of what the actual match was. But like I said, I guess I'm just a sucker for how important the brand split felt. And there was a particular episode on SmackDown where Shawn Michaels was called out by Kurt Angle. And I'm being honest, I don't think I had ever seen Shawn Michaels on SmackDown to this point. And Shawn Michaels would eventually show up to this match, or to this episode of SmackDown, but not in the capacity that Kurt Angle was expecting.
Kurt Angle's opponent is dressed a little strangely.
You know, this is usually the time when I ask my opponent what his name is and where he's from. But do you think I'm that stupid? Do you think I'm that gullible? I know who you are. You're Shawn Michaels. All right. I knew you weren't Shawn. Because Shawn wouldn't be here. Because I beat the hell out of him. And that's exactly what I'm going to do to you tonight. So what's your name and where are you from?
My name is Scott Wright, and I'm from right here in Albany, New York.
Are you ready?
Hey! What the? It's Shawn Michaels assaulting Kurt Angle!
So Shawn Michaels, dressed as a cameraman, shows up on SmackDown and starts attacking Kurt Angle. And this ultimately leads to their match at WrestleMania, obviously. But again, it just felt so important back then when the brand split was in full effect here. And I can't stress it enough, is like, when you keep them as two separate entities, when there are moments like this, you absolutely feel so important when a guy shows up on SmackDown and how important it was and how mega of a match if it was building towards. Like, oh my God, it's so personal between these guys that it's eventually going to boil down to, you know, Kurt Angle versus Shawn Michaels going on each other's brands. And Kurt Angle would have a promo on Raw. I believe it was the very next Raw after Shawn Michaels had jumped to SmackDown. So I just have to say how important this all felt because of how they were on separate brands and how at this time the brands were two separate worlds. And more so than that is that it was Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle, two of the biggest stars of this generation and of all time. And you just were just waiting for these two guys to collide in just an absolutely amazing wrestling match. And once WrestleMania came around, that's exactly what we got. And a WrestleMania that, I'm not gonna lie, I did not like in the moment at all. But when I look back on it, it gave some classic matches. And this was probably the match of the night. Just a pure wrestling match. Start out with some chain wrestling. Great high spots. But when it all came down to the nitty-gritty at the end, it was a classic submission hold that finally got the bell to ring.
And look at that hideous position of Angle's ankle, of Shawn Michaels' ankle. It's in a sick position. It could break at any moment. Michael's angle could snap at any moment. Michael's give up. Refusing to die here.
He will not.
He is Mr. WrestleMania. Michael's doing all he can to counter. But how do you counter? Oh, no. The fans. No. Shot. I thought he was going to tap, but he didn't. And he's one more. The will to win. Michael's trying. Everything he's got. Everything he has. How long has this ankle lock been locked in? How much can he stand?
And Kurt Angle gets probably, in my opinion, what was his biggest win of his career. Now, you could argue that I believe it was SummerSlam 2003 WWE Championship victory over Brock was that. You could argue that his first ever WWF Championship win against The Rock at, I believe it was No Mercy in 2000 was. But this, to me, was kind of like the crowning moment of Kurt Angle as a main event legitimate superstar in the WWE. And that's because aside from this at WrestleMania, he had never really won in a big match situation. Like before this, his biggest win to date at WrestleMania was probably against Benoit at WrestleMania 17, which was a very good match, but even that, there was some hook and crook. This was a clean victory for Kurt Angle. And to me, it was just a crowning moment for him and just an absolutely brilliant match. Like, my favorite Sweet Chin music of all time came from this match where, like, Kurt Angle has Shawn Michaels on his knees and he has, like, his hands on either side of HBK's head and he's, like, screaming at him, like, why won't you just give up? Why don't you die? And Shawn Michaels just knocks his hands out of the way and with, like, zero margin for error just, like, kicks Angle's head or had clean off of his shoulders and just an absolutely brilliant match top to bottom. And like I said, I really do believe that this was kind of a crowning moment for for Kurt Angle rather. And even for Shawn Michaels, like at this point, it was almost like Shawn Michaels was like habitually losing the big match to put guys over. But look, Shawn Michaels was a main man at this time. And I think Kurt Angle, while you can make the case he was already a made man, getting this victory over Shawn Michaels in clean fashion in a match that almost went half an hour, I believe it was 28 minutes or so, just absolutely phenomenal. And they obviously went their separate ways following this match because HBK is on Raw and Kurt Angle was on SmackDown. But come the draft in 2005, a draft that I believe was the most significant in the history of the company, there was a selection made that resulted in this rivalry being reborn. So Kurt Angle gets drafted to Monday Night Raw, and to be honest, I just love hearing his song, and I think it's cool to play that clip. And again, a big significant moment in the brand extension because we had not seen Kurt Angle on Raw for 3.5 years. And that's a pretty significant thing for a star of Kurt Angle's stature to not be on the major brand of the show, and maybe not anymore, but what has forever been maybe pre-2021, the flagship show of WWE. And a star like Kurt Angle at this time, he was easily a top five star in the company. You had Triple H, you had John Cena at this point, probably Batista, and then Undertaker and Kurt Angle were the biggest stars here for the WWE. And what they were able to do now was get this rivalry reignited between Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle. And they lead to a match at Vengeance in late June of 2005. And Shawn Michaels actually gets the victory over Kurt Angle. So now they're at 1-1. But Shawn Michaels quickly goes into a program with Hulk Hogan, which culminates at SummerSlam 2005. Kurt Angle kind of becomes entrenched in a meaningless feud with Eugene. And then at Raw Homecoming, we finally have the rubber match between Angle and HBK. And the winner of that match, a match that was personally made by Vince McMahon the week prior, would have a major impact on who became the next number one contender for John Cena's WWE Championship.
We're down to almost just 1 minute!
And now Angle's got the break by him. Michael's in the center of the ring.
He's gonna have to tap out!
Again, we're under 60 seconds remaining for the score tied.
I can only imagine how much pain Shawn Michaels is in right now. He can see the heart that Shawn Michaels is
going to
have.
Here he goes!
He's gonna tap! Shawn Michaels is gonna tap!
Michaels is reaching for adrenaline. He can muster
42 seconds. Can he hold on? There's no way he can last this long.
Michael's trying to reverse the pressure. Turn and roll toward the ropes.
And look at Kurt Angle. He's like a boa constrictor. He's wrapped around Shawn Michaels' entire leg.
30 under 30 seconds.
There's no getting Kurt Angle up. Oh,
big shot
right to the face. A big boot right to the face of Kurt Angle.
Michael's kicked his leg free.
There's only 15 seconds left.
He's got it again.
Angle again with the ankle lock. Can Michaels hold on? We're under 10. We're under 5.
Oh,
oh, sweet chin music. It's over. It's over. Oh, the bell sounds. Michaels had it.
Well, wait, what?
But the time limit expired.
Ladies and gentlemen, the 30 minutes has expired. Therefore, the match is a draw.
What?
No clock. Michael's ready to fight. Is Angle just walking away from this confrontation?
Kurt's leaving.
This isn't like the Kurt Angle that I know.
Why is Kurt Angle not accepting this sudden death challenge of Shawn Michaels?
So this was actually a 30-minute Ironman match, and it ends in a 2-2 draw, which, as they were saying, was kind of unbecoming of Kurt Angle, who was kind of fast-tracking towards his wrestling machine gimmick at this point in time. And as a result of the tie in the 30-minute Iron Man match, it led to a triple threat contest between John Cena, Kurt Angle, and Shawn Michaels at Taboo Tuesday, a retired pay-per-view in 2005, a match that John Cena retained the WWE Championship. And this was kind of the end of the Kurt Angle-Shawn Michaels rivalry. They did have a match in January, I believe, but after Kurt Angle had kind of showed up on SmackDown and become the World Heavyweight Champion. But another memorable thing about this program and this feud is the fact that it was Kurt Angle's, his last major program in WWE before leaving for TNA. He left for TNA in June of 2006 when he got drafted to ECW and was kind of anointed as the face of that brand. And as we know, he was going through some medical problems at the time and whatnot. And I believe he said in the past that he kind of saw the writing on the wall that, you know, John Cena was going to be the face of the company, and he felt that maybe he was being a little disrespected in that regard. And I could see that. Kurt Angle was the workhorse for the SmackDown brand for years, and it wasn't just in 03 and 04. Like, look, even in 2006, Batista gets hurt, has to relinquish the World Heavyweight Championship, and on a dime, they send Kurt Angle over to SmackDown, make him the World Heavyweight Champion, and he kind of carries that brand right into WrestleMania 22, where he subsequently drops the belt to Rey Mysterio in a triple threat match. So Kurt Angle was just always that guy that kept, that creative and Vince McMahon kept going back to repeatedly when they were in a pinch to carry the brand of SmackDown. On Raw, he would have done the same thing, obviously, but on Raw, you had, like, it was the workman load was more shared, where you had HBK do it, you had Triple H do it, even a guy like Chris Jericho worked his ass off for the Monday Night Raw brand. As opposed to on SmackDown, You had blips where you had guys really carry the brand, like Eddie Guerrero, Brock did it, even Chris Benoit to a certain extent, JBL later on. But the one constant was Kurt Angle. And on Raw, you had kind of three constants in Jericho, HBK, and Triple H. On SmackDown, it was always Kurt Angle, just always there doing whatever you needed him to do. And I really do think that aside from Triple H, he probably was the most legitimate star in the company right up until the breakouts of John Cena and Batista at WrestleMania 21. And I mean, that's saying something. When you have guys like The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels around the company as well, for you to say that this guy is one of the biggest draws in the company at this point, I truly believe that. If you ask me in the early years of Ruthless Aggression era, who was the biggest face and constant of SmackDown, I would say Kurt Angle without a doubt. And obviously that was in large part due to Brock Lesnar leaving in 2004. I don't think Kurt Angle would have been as stuck in the main event scene had Brock Lesnar left, but even in 2003 when Brock was there, it was Brock versus Kurt Angle almost for the entire calendar year of 2003. That program has so many layers and lasted such a long time. They were basically in a rivalry for a year straight, Brock and Kurt Angle, but that's another rivalry for another day. Maybe we'll get to that next week, but that's such a long rivalry that I have to be well and prepared for. But as far as Angle versus HBK, one of the best WrestleMania matches of all time, two of the best in-ring competitors in the history of the company, and I think that it is so significant because it was the lasting rivalry of Kurt Angle before he left for Impact Wrestling in 2006, and obviously upon his return to the WWE in 2017, his wrestling career was long gone. His best years were way behind him, so I think back fondly of this rivalry because it was Kurt Angle's kind of final big program in the company, and what a guy to have it with Shawn Michaels. Anyway, guys, that's all I got for you today. I hope you enjoyed Angle versus HBK. As always, you can get me on Twitter at ADeMarco25. You can get Matt on Twitter at wrestling_audio, or you can email him at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. Anyway, guys, stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you next week.